world champions. World f***ing champions.
It's a white boy that ran track for my f***ing living. He ran track for my f***ing living and he lost.
You gotta have an opinion. I mean, do you think that God came down from heaven and stopped?
Oh, what's happening? Oh, man.
Oh, man, I shot Marvin in the face.
Why the did you do that?
Well, I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident.
Oh, man, I see some crazy ass in my time, but just
chill out, man. I told you it was an accident. You went over a bump or something.
Hey, the car ain't hit no motherfucking bump.
Organization that has control over everything we see, and the select group of individuals that attempts to make a change. Sounds like a science fiction movie, right? In fact, it's the United States and the music and movies we experience every day. Special government institutions censor whatever they deem inappropriate. Some people, though, don't believe this is right and are doing whatever they can to make sure that they know what they're missing. Whether this is through sneaking into an R-rated film or directing an NC-17 rated movie. The people who are opposed to having boundaries will not be silenced. This week on E-Band English, Not Yet Rated. I recently conducted an email interview with Betsy Bosdek from Common Sense Media, a well-known website that rates movies for families based on the amount of what they consider to be inappropriate content. Why are certain things such as sex, drugs, and profanity not allowed in the media? She writes, "It all depends on the media. Many movies, TV shows, and other media for older viewers do have the amount of content you mentioned. That's why most forms of media, including movies, TV shows, and games, have instituted rating systems to help alert customers to the kind of content they contain." Coming up next, an interview with a librarian about banned books. I'm here with Erica Moon, a school librarian and former Public Union University librarian who has agreed to speak with me about banned books. You're a librarian at a school. So, do you ever at all deal with any, like, banned books? Does that ever come up?
Yes, it comes up. It's come up when I was a public librarian. It's come up in school libraries. More often than dealing with banned books, I deal with parents who would like to have a book banned.
Really?
That has not been banned before, yes.
Really? Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Generally, there would be something in a book that disturbs a parent, and just like most of the world, they assume that everyone feels the same way that they do, and they will ask that the book be removed from the library. Fortunately, we have a system in place where if a parent has a complaint about a book, they need to fill out a form, and it needs to be brought before the Board of Education, and there's a whole process. So generally, they give up before it gets to that point. Or sometimes we're able to frame it. I'm able to frame it in such a way for a parent that they realize that they realize the value of keeping the book in the library.
Okay. Why would you say that they ban these books?
It depends on the book. Why books have been banned in the past, or why a parent would want a book banned now?
Why they have been banned?
In the past, almost always it's been because of popular opinion at that time about different subjects. I mean, yeah, some books were banned at different times because they showed something, a taboo at the time that generally passes out of popularity. Alice in Wonderland was banned because of perceived drug usage by the caterpillar. And if you look at the time, around the time that it was banned, you'll see it's because that the country at that time was, you know, very anti anything, anything outside of, you know, normal society. Anything counterculture, I guess, was perceived as a threat to normal society. So, and you know, look at Alice in Wonderland now. Now it's been made into a children's movie. So, generally, opinion passes, and the book is taken off the banned list. They also many banned lists. Harry Potter was banned.
Oh wow. So, what would you say, like, that this says about, like information being kept from people and, like, from society? I mean, because I know in China, they ban a lot of things that people aren't allowed, like, that they don't want people to see. So do you think that there could be something similar that has to do with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that generally the people that are for banning a book want to be able to control the way a society thinks. And the book that they want banned usually goes against what they think is the best thing for society. And it's when they don't trust people to make their own decisions that they want to take that away from people. They
want to
be. It's always a control thing. Almost always a control.
Wow. Okay. There are a lot of movies that are considered, like, very controversial, such as, like, The Last Temptation of Jesus Christ, and there are a lot of books that are that way too. Do you think that the people that create these things push those boundaries on purpose?
In movies, I would think even more so than books. Yes. I think they do push the boundaries. I think they want to rattle the cage and see if they can make people challenge their beliefs.
Well, do you think this is something that society wants? Do you think that, society interprets this way because they're uncomfortable with the boundaries?
No, I don't think society as a whole, I don't think they want to change at all. I think that the status quo is afraid of change. And generally want things to stay the same. I don't think they would like to see, I don't think they would like to see their own beliefs challenged, especially in areas of religion, politics, you know, the country.
Well, do you think that the media is a very, like, do you think that the media is a good tool or outlet to challenge things like that?
Yes, I do.
Well, a lot of people say that movies and stuff are a good representation of the time and what people think at that time. Would you agree?
I don't know that controversial ones. I don't think controversial movies are a representation of the society of time, at least not society as a whole. No, they're just small part. And that part wants to push the envelope. They do want to challenge those boundaries. And that's why they would make a controversial film. And of course, film is a much more, it's more of a lightning rod because it's visible to so many. I mean, it covers such a much larger area of people than, say, a book, which, you know, so few pick up anymore.
Well, the kids that you work with in your library, do you think that they want to read, like, certain things because of these things that are being kept from them? Do you think that makes them want to read them more?
Definitely. Without a doubt. In every instance I've ever encountered, that has always inspired a child to find a way to read that book, whether it's having someone else borrow it and they read it from their friend, doesn't matter. They will find a way to read that book. Definitely creates an interest. That's just like human nature.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, stories from the library or any instances where something that has to do with this has happened?
Yes, I always trust that the parents are aware of what their children are reading. I make that very clear anytime that I have open house where I meet all the parents, I make it very clear that they're in charge of what their kids are reading, that I'm not going to keep them from reading anything. And I have had parents who say, well, I would rather you not let my child check out Harry Potter. And I told my child that I don't want them checking out Harry Potter because it involves witchcraft and wizardry. And that's fine, because I'm a school, I have to honor that. I'm not a public library. So, you know, guaranteed that child will be reading Harry Potter within a week. I wish I could name names. I can't name names, but I know of a child who had their best friend check out Harry Potter for them so that they could read it. And I didn't find out until after the child had read the book, but it happened. I have another parent who wanted a book taken off the shelf. I think it was The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane, which is by Kate DiCamillo, a very Newbery winner. Won many awards for writing, and the parent wanted it taken off because the theme of death in the book she thought was a little too heavy for second graders. And of course, I wasn't going to take it off the shelf. Absolutely not. There's nothing inappropriate in the book whatsoever in my mind. So it didn't. And I had parents ask me to take off a book about the Holocaust. They thought it was disturbing. And I said, oh, you could fill out the form, but I'm not going to take it off the shelf because it's like an event in history and we can't change history. And the parent gave up their fight. So.
Okay.
And well, I often recommend when a parent, I had one parent, Abraham, this was so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They were reading it to their child, and the word stupid was in the book. Stupid. This is the word. And this parent said, I really don't think that this book belongs in the school library. We don't use the word stupid at home. And what I said to the parent was, I said, instead of me taking the book off the shelf, why don't you view this as a teachable moment for your child where you get to reinforce what you think of as appropriate and inappropriate language. This is your time to have the opportunity to say, I know some people say this word, but we don't say that. And it was like a light bulb went on over this parent's head. And she was like, oh, okay, what a good idea. Yeah, that's how it reading is.
Well.
Helping make decisions. So,
So you work with kids, and you're also a parent. So what, this is the last question, what would you say you think is, like, appropriate? Like, what defines appropriate for you?
I think I really have ever made that distinction. I've only, the only, I guess every parent censors in their own way. I don't ever ban any book, but you know, with my kids, whatever's in the house is available for them to read. Of course, we don't have anything like pornography in the house, so I know that whatever they have access to isn't going to be grossly inappropriate for their ages.
Okay.
So, you know, I've always been of the opinion that if they can read it and comprehend it, then go ahead.
Okay. Well,
and then, you know, Nathaniel really wanted to read the Da Vinci Code in the worst way when he was 13. And I knew he was going to read it whether I wanted him to or not. Because he had, I found it in his room. It was his brother's book, Sebastian's book. And I found it in his room, and I thought, well, I'll just talk to him about it before he reads it so he knows how I feel about certain themes in the book, and then, you know, let him decide for himself, and he did. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
The media's boundaries keep anyone who they consider unable to handle the worst from experiencing it. For those who aren't legally permitted to see these things, it's a little like breaking into a bank. But instead of invisible lasers, the MPAA has the NC-17. However, there are those who would argue that the desensitization in our society is leading to a future without censorship. But history has shown that there will always be values that are unpopular in society, just as there will be those who try to turn those values on their head. I'm Abe Musselman for E-Band English. See you next week. And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best for the